We've been in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and we had the first part last week, and we read verses 1 through 28, and of course, this is known as the resurrection chapter of the Bible, just as chapter 13 is known as the love chapter. This one is known as the resurrection chapter, the resurrection of the dead. And just by way of introduction or reminding of what we had last week, and I thought Tom's devotional covered that pretty good. And Christ is the first fruits of resurrection, and we read there in that first part, it says, "And afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming." That's in verse 20 of this 15th chapter. "And God raised his son from the dead. The penalty for sin had been paid and accepted. Praise the Lord. And his, Christ's resurrection requires the resurrection of his people." That's what we covered last time. And also we covered the fact that he rose from the dead cannot be denied. There were many witnesses, verses 5 through 9 that we read. And that his resurrection made his salvation perfect. For now, I want you to think about this. For redemption must go as deep in its recovery of as sin has gone in its ruin. Death is the result and the penalty for sin. So death must be swallowed up of life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. His salvation is perfect. And we're going to start with verse 29 this morning. Chapter 15, verse 29. "Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all?" Question. "Why are they then baptized for the dead?" Question. And Paul is asking these questions. If the dead rise not at all, then why are we baptized for the dead? Water baptism, it not only symbolizes the death of our old man, but that we are raised with Christ in the life of the new man. We learn this in Romans 6:5. But it also foreshadows burials of our bodies and their coming forth in resurrection and glory and power. In baptism, we declare that we believe in the resurrection of the dead. Do you believe in the resurrection of the dead? All right, let's read verse 20 through 32. "And why stand we in jeopardy every hour?" Question. "I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die," if that's true, see? Paul says, why do I risk my life for the gospel? Why do I put my life in peril if the dead are not raised at all? And see, that was what some of them in Corinth had been embracing, the doctrine of the Sadducees that do not believe in the resurrection. Well, praise the Lord. Our new life sustains us in our hope of the future life and the rewards. and Christ was Paul's sufficiency. Let's start reading with verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. I'm going to stop here. I have something I want to add, and that is there are many believers, Christians, who profess or confess, I could say, the resurrection of Christ with their lips, but they deny it in their lives. Selah, think about that. By attempting to live by their own efforts and not by the risen life of our Lord. We don't want the old flesh to be guiding us and ruling us. We possess the risen life of Christ within us. And may we yield to that new nature. Yes. Well, last week, we read verses 20 through 23, the certainty of the resurrection. And if you weren't here, I tell you, read this whole chapter. I have found that when I read, sometimes this is an illustration, an article comes in for printing in the paper, and I read it to see, you know, if it's according to the Word of God. And then I type it. But then I read it to proofread it. And it takes the third reading to really, seems like, to get what the message is. So if you think, oh, I've read that before, read it again. Let it sink in. Well, praise the Lord. We read last time the certainty of the resurrection. And in Christ shall all be made alive, we read there. And then it says, every man in his own order, and that's a military term that in the Greek means rank. Every man in his own rank. And when does it say? At Christ's coming. This word coming in the Greek is different than other places. And it is, the Greek word is parousia. Now that's the way Jack pronounced it, so I pronounce it that way, parousia. I've heard other ministers call it parousia, but Jack always said parousia, so I follow him. But it doesn't make any difference how you pronounce it, it's what it means. And it does have a different meaning, this coming. It means his presence. And the diaglot has his appearance. And then I go to the Vine's Expository Dictionary, which gives us more detail of that Greek word. And here's what it means. That is not merely his coming for his saints, but his presence with them and his revelation and manifestation to the world, giving prominence to the beginning of that period and the course of that period. That coming covers a period of time. And that parousia, his parousia. Verse 35, let's start reading. I may say more on that later. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Paul says, thou fool. That which thou sowest, is it not quickened, except it die? And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Now, farmers know this is true, but he cannot understand how life springs out of that decaying seed. But he doesn't hesitate to sow it. God gives it a body as it pleases him. You know, life out of death staggers the reasoning of man. man reasons, oh, dead, there's no life, that can never can be any life. Isn't that the reasoning of man? Well, Paul now then gives the fashion and manner of the resurrection, illustrated by nature and by terrestrial and celestial bodies. Let's start reading with verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There is also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. You see the illustrations that he's using? He says there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. Isn't that pretty plain and simple, the illustrations? For one star differed from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. In that verse 39, he mentions four kinds of flesh, indicating that in the resurrection, saints' bodies will differ in state and appearance. But we do know one thing. Our bodies will be changed. Philippians 3:21, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. That's one thing I noticed in my husband, that when he read a verse, and sometimes people just kind of the first part, but when it says according, that's what he always zeroed in on, according. Well, I don't want to get away from my subject now. It's also clear from verse 41 that we read, some saints will share with Jesus in the highest sun glory, radiating transcendent glory. Not simply moon glory or star glory. See the difference? But all will be glorious, powerful, incorruptible, yet differ in brilliance. Think of the illustration. Ranks of the believers is very clear. When we read verse 23 last night, it says, every man in his own rank. Let's start reading with verse 43. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. All believers, heavenly. You know, the first Adam was never spiritual, only natural and soulish, subject to sin and decay. And if you see this, it should cause us to lose all hope in improving the old creation. We have a new life. You know, even if it were possible for us to improve the old flesh, which is not possible, it would only fail again. Yes. Praise the Lord. The last Adam, Christ, the Lord from heaven, that life-giving spirit came to transmit life where there was none. Jesus was moved by the Holy Spirit. Adam was only moved by his own volition. Likewise, for you and I, to be spiritual is to be moved by the Spirit of God instead of natural impulse. That new life. Yes. Now, how? How? By being occupied with the Lord in his glory. Then we find we are swayed by heavenly instinct. In verse 48, as is the heavenly one, such are they also are the heavenly ones. Verse 49, as we have borne the image of the earthly one, weak and corruptible, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly one. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. We come into the kingdom of God now by new birth. A new birth. And that old creation did not inherit it. As born again sons of God, we have an inheritance. I thought that word inherit there is the secret of that verse, of understanding it. We have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son and of his love. And as sons, praise the Lord, we have an inheritance. And that is the very first important translation. Let's start reading verse 51. Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. He uncovers some mysteries in his epistles. And this mystery, he says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Praise the Lord. Well, this mystery that Paul is revealing here is about the resurrection. Now, the resurrection in itself is not new, because it's plainly taught in the Old Testament. Isaiah 25 and Ezekiel 37 and Daniel 12. I'm not going to read those verses, but it's in the Old Testament. But what's new here is all shall be changed. Whether they die or not. Translation or resurrection. Some saints will be living when the trumpet sounds. And just think what it says. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the very moment that the trumpet blasts, the bodies will be changed into glorious immortality. Ooh. Praise the Lord. Now, this will be true of all believers, no matter which rank they're in. That will be true of all. And that's called Revelation, the 20th chapter and verse 6, it's called the first resurrection. It covers a period of time, that parousia I was speaking of. It covers a period of time. I spoke on this last Sunday, and it is from the resurrection and translation of the ranks of the church until the end of the millennium, when those living saints up on the earth will be taken up. Praise the Lord. Well, did you notice it said last trump? Uh-huh. Well, that means there's more than one. The last one will be at the end of the millennium. And John, the beloved disciple, he was given visions of all this. And in vision, the Lord showed him Jesus appearing to different companies at different times. And I never tire on teaching that. I've taught it many times from the book of Revelation. The Apostle Paul yearned for the resurrection out from dead ones. He wanted to go at the first trumpet sound. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:48, he gives a warning to believers. Those that are not spiritual and ready when the first trumpet sounds. So what will his coming be to them at that time? His coming will be as a thief, because they weren't ready. They weren't alert. But you know, when they miss that first trumpet sound, I believe they're going to get stirred up, don't you? They're going to get serious with God when they hadn't been serious with God before. And they'll go up, though. We read of that in Revelation 7, the innumerable company. Yes. Let's start reading with verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So then this corruptible shall have put on incorruption. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. This includes all the believers of that first resurrection down to the end of the millennium. Death is swallowed up in victory. Let's start reading with verse 56. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But, aren't you glad for that word there? But thanks be to God, which giveth the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's rewards. Our faith is not in vain. And we can have the victory now over sin in the flesh. You believe that?
Yes.
And but we have a choice. God doesn't force us. We have a choice. Let us yield to the Christ life and let his life rule in us. Rule our life. It takes a yielding to that new life. We'll have the victory and God will be glorified. Our bodies are just earthen vessels, and we groan to be delivered. I think we all know we heard some groaning. Praise the Lord. Not only Jack, but Adina and different ones, they groan to be delivered. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 1 and 2. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. You know what that house is? That's our heavenly bodies, our glorified bodies. And our faith is not in vain, as I said before. And we wait our arrival in heaven. It may be by resurrection, or it could be by translation. You remember that song Adina brought? I just love that song. Do we have a copy of that? We're winners either way. Winner? Do we have a copy? We're winners either way. Whether it is by resurrection or by translation, we are winners either way. I'm going to close with that. Praise the Lord. Well, let's sing.